When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to I'm So Obsessed, where we talk with actors, artists, and creators about their work, career, and current obsession. I'm your host, Patrick Holland, and my guest today is the filmmaker, animator, story artist, and voiceover actor, Peter Sohn. He's worked for Pixar dating back to Finding Nemo and on films like Luca, The Incredibles, WALL-E, and Up. Peter directed the film The Good Dinosaur and is directing the upcoming film Elemental. During his time at Pixar, Peter has not only gotten to work on films from behind the scenes, but he's become a popular favorite for playing characters like Emil in Ratatouille and Squishy in Monsters University. Most recently, Peter gave a scene-stealing performance as Sox, the robot comfort cat in the film Lightyear. The animated film features Chris Evans as Buzz Lightyear, and the idea is that Lightyear is supposed to be the film that inspired the Buzz Lightyear toy in Toy Story. Let's take a listen to part of a scene between Sox and Buzz Lightyear.
Hello, Buzz. I am Sox, your personal companion robot.
My what?
I was issued by Star Command to ease your emotional transition after your time away.
Oh, well, that's very considerate of you, robot feline, but no thank you.
I'm afraid it's protocol. Sensors indicate you've missed 4 birthdays. Would you like a frosted snack cake to celebrate?
Negative. That would compromise my nutritional regimen.
We can talk about your feelings. I am an excellent listener.
No, look. I've had a very long day. It did not go as planned.
The mission was unsuccessful?
Affirmative.
Oh, no. I am so sorry to hear that.
Thank you, Sox.
You're welcome, Buzz. I can provide sleep sounds if you like. I have several options. Summer night, ocean paradise, whale calls.
No. White noise is fine.
Very well.
Good night, Sox.
Good night, Buzz.
You do so many things, which is one of the things I relate with you about, that it seems like you are kind of a walking animation and production studio. You're doing voices, you're doing art, you've actually made films yourself. But I imagine part of the appeal while we're talking is the movie Lightyear, and yeah. You play the character Sox, who I wouldn't say steals the film, but definitely is upstages lots of the moments in a good way. Yeah. I wonder if you could talk a little bit how you got this role and how you determined to play a robot cat.
Patrick, so early on when, I don't know how much you know about the process here, but like you're making these reels for years. You're just doing a lot of drawings for storyboards and then cutting together with temporary voices or scratch voices. And so Angus, the director, asked me to just come in to play this cat as a temporary voice. And so there were months of just coming in the different versions of the film and really playing sort of this sort of, you know, a robot butler. And then as it was going on and evolving, working with him, I felt like we were sort of building the character together in our sort of 80s, 90s love for sci-fi and all of that. And then at a certain point when it was getting more real, he said, we'd like to offer you the role. And so that's how that happened. And I love it just because we had the fun making it. But, you know, like, what am I doing in a movie like that?
What's great is it's like your build like third. Like it's like, Evans and, Katie Palmer and then you. You're like, this is amazing.
Yeah. I like saw them in real life and I was like, oh my God, his biceps are humongous. Look, Taika is such a character. And like Kiki, they're so cool. What am I doing?
Well, and then going back a little bit, because of those like scratch tracks and stuff, I have to ask this because we've covered years ago at CNET, and we still do to some point, these therapy animals, we call them. Some of them are toys that are designed to help comfort kids through going through chemotherapy. Right. Some are designed for adults. Did any of that enter into how you approached playing a robot cat, or is it just like, my voice sounds this way, I'm going to go with that?
I think the closest thing that Well, you know, like obviously from like the different type of droids that there were in the world, there was also a military aspect to it that I was talking to Angus about. And honestly, there are pieces of like Data as an android, because he worked as a part of you know, the Federation or whatever it was. There was this sort of like gentle, like, yes, Captain, you know, that was part of an ingredient to Sox that was helpful when he was spouting out all of this sort of like technical information. But then there was a lighter side, a friendlier side that was sort of more like, hey, Buzz, you want a snack cake? That wasn't the android part of it or the protocol part of it. It was just a friend. And so that side of it kind of mixed with what I think you're talking about something that takes care of you or is there for you. And it was that mix that was sort of the thing that we built with Angus.
And with Lightyear, what's fun is for the four people who haven't seen it. Well, actually, you know, there's generations of kids who have probably not seen Toy Story or most of them. It's based off the character Buzz Lightyear, and the premise of the film, though it was missed or for some people, is the fact that this is the movie that they made the Buzz Lightyear toy from. And that's why we have Chris Evans as the voice. I'm wondering, with you heard about a prequel to this character as kind of what this is, or a kind of an origin story. What was your first reaction when you heard that there was going to be a Buzz Lightyear film and that Chris Evans was going to be Buzz Lightyear?
I was really excited about it. When Angus first pitched it was like, what was the Star Wars for Andy? And that was sort of how this was started off with. And you know, like I was born 77 when Star Wars came out, and so a lot of my childhood was, you know, I didn't see that one in the theater. I saw a Return in the theater, but that idea of like that cinematic experience and understanding what that was and what Angus was reaching for delighted me. And then I am a huge fan of Chris Evans' Captain America. Like I was just blown away by Avengers Endgame. I was crying like a big baby at the end of that thing. And to hear that he would have that sort of like, you know, charm and strength for Buzz was really exciting.
And you mentioned like the 90s tech aspect to it, which informs a lot of the style. When you first saw some of the renders of the characters, what was your reaction, especially the socks?
I just kept seeing Angus's love for these things, Patrick. Like, you know, his love between like Teddy Ruxpin and R2-D2, and like this mix of this like new thing was like, wow. You know, he was so dedicated on the seams of the cat, of like where that flocking would be, and the vinyl leather of the net. Like he's such a hardcore like nerd about all of that. And so when finally seeing rendered, I'm like, oh my God, this is so Angus and all those details. And so I was just proud of him, you know.
What do you tell people what the movie's about or why they should check it out?
Yeah, I think it's the movie about how Buzz Lightyear becomes that Buzz Lightyear hero that we know, and how he grows in terms of his relationships and his character through failing big time, you know, and how to get up from those big regrets that you have. And I'm so proud to have been in that movie. It was so fun.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
The name of our podcast is called I'm So Obsessed. Peter, what are you currently obsessed with?
This is going to sound so weird, but like, because the work is very stressful, I get obsessed with like relaxing things. So, Patrick, please don't judge me on that. It's so weird. But it's this art form called Jimonseki. It's a Japanese art form, okay? And it's weird, but like, it's finding river rocks, right? So, you're going on a hike and finding rocks that have faces in them. It's so weird, Patrick, but like it's one of the most relaxing things of like walking around, kicking stones over, and then like, oh my God, you know, with the family, my kids will find something like this is an eye but no mouth, or this is two eyes and a nose and a mouth. Okay, is this? And like, oh yeah. And as weird as that sounds, it's been something that our whole family's been obsessed over.
I think my dad might, he has those river rocks. They're like very smooth rocks. Yeah. And but my dad's an architect, so maybe there's an aspect to that. And he's a little more, he was very more cultured than I was growing up. I also want to ask you a little bit about some of your other background, because you have done a lot of work with Pixar. And one of the films I love is The Good Dinosaur, which you directed.
Yeah,
how was that process like, being a director on a film like that and seeing how it's been, how people have responded, and especially children have responded to seeing that film over the past, like, oh my God, 7 years now, 8 years?
Yeah. It's, you know, that film is very emotional for me, only because like it went through a rough time in terms of director changes and everything in the version of the movie that it was before. But at the same time, like, it's one of those things, you know, we made the movie very fast. And to see the studio step up in terms of, like, we had what, I think 18 months to from that, this new version to the end, and how every artist and every, you know, everyone that was helping, they just all, like, you know, dropped everything that they could to help make that movie. And so I always feel this emotional connection of, like, wow, it was a difficult time, but I have a really big pride for not only the movie, but for how it was made in such difficult sort of scenarios. And it's not everyone's favorite movie, for sure, but the sincerity of what we put into the movie and our love for the American Northwest and these characters and really connected to a lot of people in a very strong way. In fact, at D23 the other day, a woman was just saying, like, what happens to Spot now with the family? I need to know, you need to make more. And they were so passionate. And so, you know, the idea of it growing, and there's something about this young dinosaur that tries to get through his fears that has connected to a lot of kids that are going through hardships. And I always get a lot of mail or social media on, like, thanks for finding that strength for him. And, like, you know, working through the fear, and that's been very meaningful.
And so with all the different hats you wear, like doing directing a movie like The Good Dinosaur, when you go back to being whether it's an animator or a voice actor, what do you take away from that experience that helps inform you not to worry, or this is how it's going to be, or taking a direction that might seem odd?
Well, what's interesting is we're going to have another movie next year that I'm directing. It's called Elemental. And it's been such a different process because it's so much more personal, Patrick, where because of the speed that we were going, it's connected to personal life. But, like, you know, like I didn't lose a father at that time. But since that movie was made, I did lose my father. And so I have different feelings now. And a lot of those feelings of how much I appreciate my parents are now being put into this movie which I have more time to do. And so it's a different process. Those worries that I had on Dino was more like, can we get this done? And now in this one, it's more like, you know, is this emotion clear, you know? And so there's different worries, you know?
Well, first of all, I'll say, I'm so sorry to hear about your father's loss. That,
thank you, Patrick.
Yeah, I went through something like that with my mother. But I also think that's, even though we think of Pixar being kind of like a very family-friendly, offering family-friendly stories, oftentimes they deal with themes that, whether you're a child or an adult, you're dealing with, and grief is definitely one of those. I'm also, you mentioned people asking about a character for The Good Dinosaur. We actually have some questions about some characters you've played. And I was going to say that these are from a kid, but they're actually from my 30-year-old coworker. the first one I have is for Emil. And do you think that Emil's palette has improved since we last saw him in that movie?
I don't think so at all. He's been eating garbage his whole life. He does not have those tastes that Remy does. And so, unfortunately, he'll be eating the same high-class stuff his brother's cooking him, but he'll enjoy the same meal out of a dumpster.
It's like his comfort food is just his food. Then with Sox is kind of like a Swiss Army knife as well. I mean, he has a lot of different resources. What's his best resource?
Oh boy, I feel like whatever programming that he has is the therapy side, I feel like is his best thing, of trying to, you know, connect with someone. But if you're talking about just the technical side of it, like the actual practical pieces of him, I would say that tail that has that USB function. I feel like it's so practical to like get information in and out of that guy. I think that's my favorite thing.
And I love how you mentioned Teddy Ruxpin earlier, because now I'm like, yes, that's what it reminded me of, but I couldn't really put
It's all
and I have one more for you. For Squishy, do you think Squishy still lives with his mom?
Yes, he probably has now taken the basement where the laundry was, but I'm sure he's made that basement his own now, and you know, really getting nervous about bringing a girl over or whatever, but yeah, he's still living down there.
Okay, and then circling back to you as the voice actor, obviously Lightyear, but when you think of your journey, you started out growing up in the Bronx, and then you attended CalArts, which is very prestigious, and that's kind of where you hooked up with Brad Bird. But when you think back on that time, is there some advice you received, whether in school or through life, that still sticks with you to this day?
Be kind in how you find your voice and your friends. I think that was something for me in seeing where people, you know, like there was like a competitive nature with some folks that were about ladder climbing. And then there was like a friendship that was about more knife sharpening in a gentle way, where the friends that you made sort of helped you get better. And that idea has happened at every studio that I've worked with, in terms of finding good people that help you be your best. And from Warner's to Disney TV, from CalArts to Pixar, I felt like that's the Venn diagram where everything is like, oh wow, these are passionate, great people that just are trying to support each other. And that's been something that I feel like, oh, I wish everyone had that instilled in them as they're, you know, getting better at their craft.
And then also, like, with that process being so long, years long, are there parts of that process that are more of a favorite, or parts that you look more forward to than not? I mean, because I imagine the journey has got to be as much fun as the final product, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, Patrick. The first movie I ever worked on was The Iron Giant. And I remember, you know, that movie came out and did nothing. It was like, it made no money. And that was literally the first lesson of like, when you walked away from it, you still felt super proud of the work that you had done with that team. And so that's a dragon that I chase on all the shows that I've worked on, is just really wanting to work with people that, you know, that you're having really amazing time crafting something collaborative. And that's the journey, to your point. Now, some of the tougher things are objectivity, because these projects take so long. You've heard the same joke a million times. You've heard the same moment. You've seen it a thousand times, and you start to lose objectivity. And so there are games to protect your objectivity, you know, using friends that you trust to bring some of that objectivity in. And that, and so those are the two ends of the spectrum. There's the love of collaborating and feeling the talents of people. It's like watching a great basketball game from the sidelines, where you're like, oh my God, this player showed their work today, and they just slam dunked, and like the crowd went wild over it. And so there's that aspect of the joy of watching people craft and create things that these folks are really good at what they do. And so that's such a joy and part of that journey. But then there are the times where like, I'm lost because I've seen this too many times, you know, and how did I get lost here? And those are the hard times.
And you said Iron Giant, that came out in 1999, which, it was an amazing year for films. You had like films like The Matrix and Fight Club, I think Sixth Sense. But then it also has taken on a life of its own. A lot of people like me glommed onto it. We would share it with friends, and it's in festivals, and it's become a kind of a cult thing on its own. Do you ever wish you could go back and revisit that? And I don't mean like in a way of doing a sequel, but revisit that process at that time, or revisit the feeling that process gave you?
Yeah, what's interesting is like, I grew up in New York in 80s, 90s that were, you know, not the best times, meaning there was racism and some xenophobia that I grew up with that really forced you to define yourself as this, you know, this skin color and a culture. But when I got into animation, that sort of thing started to wipe away, and you began to see a tribe of people of that really loved what they were doing and passionate. It didn't matter what creed, you know, race or creed that you were. It's just that, like, oh, you love the same things that we do. Welcome in. And Iron Giant, as my first experience on a movie, was that times a thousand. Like, the, it, you know, a good idea could come from anywhere. Brad really espouses that. Like, he doesn't just, he's not, there's not a elite, an elite club, that it was anyone. And that sort of really gave a sort of a feeling of, this is my tribe. Pixar is very much of the same sort of ilk of people that really love movies. And Patrick, just hearing you break down the films of 1999, I feel like, yeah, that's the tribe right there. Your knowledge of that, you could be at Pixar easily, in terms of just the love for movies. And I'm very proud of being a part of that tribe, you know, of film lovers, you know.
Invitation accepted. Yeah. But I will say this, and I'm going here a little more personal, but because of your background, your upbringing, and who you are, I also think seeing people who are not like me, who are not white men, in a position of power directing a Pixar film, that also has to be really rewarding in a different way. Not only I read that your parents were immigrants, but also to other people coming up in that kind of business who might not fit in that kind of very stereotypical white guy outlook.
Yeah, and you know, like, growing up trying to find gateways into movies was such an interesting thing, because you're so used to, like, the mainstream movies. But I remember movies like The Temple of Doom, where Indy had an Asian friend, you know, or The Goonies, you know, with Ki-Hui Kwan. Recently, I just saw a photo of them all getting together again, Harrison Ford and them. But that those gateways were meaningful. I didn't realize how meaningful that they were at that time. And so, the, you know, I'm working with a lot of, you know, diversity here at Pixar, it's not something that, like, I wear on my sleeve all the time. It's something that I always just feel. And the studio thought about very sensitively and sincerely about, you know, making sure that, you know, the shows all feel like it's reflecting the world around us, and without any agenda, really. It's just, you know, and that's been interesting for me as a minority, seeing how to make their work and get their perspectives heard. And so that's been very satisfying, for sure, Patrick.
The last thing I have is a very quick thing. We do a thing called pick one. I give you a couple things, you select one. It doesn't mean the thing is better than the other. So pick one: pencil, pen, paint, or computer.
Pencil. The idea of something that practical that you can bring around anywhere, and expressive a pencil can be, is something that to me is the same as a voice, and the same as communicating in English, that you can do the same thing with a drawing or words or whatever, how dark and bold the line can get, and how light and airy a pencil line can get. And it's one of, you know, God's gifts to all of us, is this piece of charcoal. It's just great.
You do so many roles. I'm guessing you're a director, you're an art director, you are a storyboard artist, a voiceover artist. Is there one that, if you kind of had to pick one, that you would lean more toward than the other?
I've always wanted to be an animator, and that's what I went to school for. That's the work that I love to do. But since then, I've been in story and drawing characters, and I think that's where my heart lives now. And I get to animate in the boards, but the art of being in a room with a bunch of story folks is hilarious, Patrick. I wish you could see it. Like, once you join into the room, like, the little bit of the fire that you get through is that as you're talking, everyone's drawing each other. And so there's a level of, like, caricature insults that you're like, oh my God, I didn't realize I had that many double chins. Oh God. Or like, that mole is growing on me. Stop drawing that, you know? And so there's that sort of, like, you know, in the trenches quality to that. That's awesome. But then when you are making a story, there's so much a balance of fun stuff, but then almost therapy, Patrick, where you're talking about issues in your lives that might connect to a story beat or not, that feel truthful and universal. So there's this balance of, like, really hysterical fun, and then really, you know, the room could just switch immediately into, you know, oh my God, I didn't know that about, you know, your grandparent or whatever, and or whatever the situation or story that you're telling. And that has become like the greatest thing, you know, where you're just, and then it's crunchy too. I mean, like, you just have to do the work. And then that's when the film love goes, where you're like, oh yeah, we staged the camera over here for this reason. Like, oh, just like, you know, Hitchcock, he didn't move that suitcase. It was full of a bomb, but he just moved the camera and it felt like it was gonna blow, but there was nothing happening. And you're like, oh yeah. And so there's that sort of love that's all mixed in with those conversations. And like, you know, what's great about animation is behavior. You're trying to figure out, is this behavior clear enough, you know? But you get a little bit of that in story as well, as you're pitching stuff, where you have to perform as you're pitching these characters. And so there's a lot of stuff in story that's just really, really, you know, tickles the movie love.
Excellent. Peter, it's been such a delight talking with you. I hope you have a lovely rest of the day, and best wishes with Elemental, okay?
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you. That was really great. I really appreciate the time.
I want to thank Peter for chatting with me, and I want to thank you for listening. Lightyear is now available in 4K Ultra HD, Blu-ray, and DVD, as well as for streaming on Disney+. I'm So Obsessed was created by our executive producer, Danielle Ramirez. Our editor and lead producer is Sophia Fox-Sowell. Please take a moment and subscribe to I'm So Obsessed on your favorite podcast app. Follow the show on Twitter at I'm So Obsessed Pod. And until next time, take care.